The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon back in Chicago after traveling to Milwaukee last night to watch Game 4 in person.
And I'm Frank Isola back in studio after traveling across the street to watch Game 4 in my hotel room. Mike wouldn't invite me out to the big game, so I watched it on TV.
I told you, you know, I got an extra room right here, right off the lake, right at the back
now
of that
telling
shot.
Me. I'll
Frank,
be there for Game
know?
6. Watch yourself. I might show up.
Yeah, Game 6.
We can hang
game
out together.
Game 6. Elimination game, automatically
like
to somebody.
Cop movie.
Welcome to PTI. Tony's off doubling a course record somewhere. So I am joined today by our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
Cheers today, gone tomorrow. That's how it works.
Yeah, not as loud as Milwaukee last night. Let's start with the Bucks beating the Suns to even the NBA Finals at 2-game apiece. Chris Middleton scored 40, including 10 straight in the last 2 minutes to propel Milwaukee. The Suns killed themselves with 17 turnovers, including a totally uncharacteristic 5 by Chris Paul. Frank, some people are putting the Suns' loss on Chris Paul. Are you?
Well, Chris Paul did put some of the blame on him. I'm not going to put it at all on Chris Paul. You know, if you look at the first 15 games of the playoffs that he played in, Mike, he had 24 turnovers. He has 15 in the last three, which tells me that Jrue Holiday, who still can't make a shot for crying out loud, is doing a good job defensively wearing him down. Jrue Holiday is like a linebacker. He's a big, strong guy.
Yes,
but you and
is.
I talked about it yesterday. We really thought Devin Booker and Chris Middleton would make their mark on this game. And Chris Middleton was outstanding. Career high 40 points. I thought the turning point of the game was the fifth foul on Devin Booker. Because I agree with Monty Williams. I'm watching him in the third quarter, and it looked like he was going to get 50. And I know lightning could strike me when I
50.
Say this. He was reminding me last night at moments of Kobe Bryant. He's getting the ball, isolating on guys. His ability to make shots is off the charts. But that 4 minutes and 55 seconds that he sat in the fourth quarter, I thought that was huge when he picked up foul number 5.
Well, I thought the turning point came slightly earlier than that when he got his third foul, reaching out to stop Giannis from having a breakaway.
Yeah.
That was his third foul. He can't. Booker can't have that. He can't get in foul trouble. And, I turned to Kendrick Perkins and said, if he gets 50, the Suns win. And Perkins agreed with me because he had 38 at the time, and you could easily see him getting 12 points.
18 in the third.
If you take that five-minute span, you're talking. So, Frank, we're essentially agreeing. It's just how early are we putting the blame on a real turning-the-corner move there. But, look, the Suns killed themselves. The one thing we talk about the Suns is they don't beat themselves, but they did. Because those 17 turnovers versus only 5 for Milwaukee, it killed the Suns. Look, they also gave up 17 offensive rebounds to Milwaukee. But Milwaukee's bigger, taller, longer, stronger. You can see that happening. The Suns can't both give up 17 to 5 advantage or disadvantage in rebounding on the offensive end alone and also turn it over 17 times, converting to 20 or 22 Milwaukee points. Can't have that, Frank. Not, and they had no fast break points.
I know.
The Suns, none. Look, Middleton was great. Giannis's block was great. It was for all-timer. We'll get to that. But the Suns beat themselves last night.
All right, Mike, what about, though? I wonder if Monty Williams is going to watch the game and he's going to think, maybe I should have put him in earlier because apparently there was no way he was going to pick up that 6th foul.
No,
maybe if he hit somebody over the head with a lead pipe because, Mike, today, if Phoenix had won that game, the number one topic would be the no call on Devin Booker because at the time,
he had
Phoenix
5.
Is up by 2 points. If Giannis doesn't put that in, if they didn't call foul, and what if Phoenix had come down, scored, hit a 2 or hit a 3? That could have been a big swing right there. Give Giannis credit for the follow, but you have to call the 6th foul right there on Devin Booker. That was a foul. I'm sorry.
It should have been called. Look, you got what you wanted. You got a game with ties and lead and drama.
Thank you.
We didn't quite get the ball in the air deciding it, which is what I thought it would be. But we got that game, and I don't know who has the advantage now, Frank. I really don't.
Yeah.
I mean, are you going to tell me that Chris Paul's going to just not have it a second straight game with one at home with this whole thing on the line? I'm going with Chris Paul to bounce back. Like Booker bounced back last night.
I agree, but again, Jrue Holiday giving you nothing
Holiday's
offensively.
Done a great job.
But defensively, he's so strong, and he's starting to wear down Chris Paul a little bit. All right, you mentioned it, Michael. Giannis provided the defensive highlight of the night for the Bucks. The Suns needed a 2-2 tie with just over a minute left when Devin Booker tossed a perfect alley-oop to DeAndre Ayton, but Giannis rose to meet him at the rim for a clean block. This is why they call him the Greek Freak. Bucks guard Pat Connaughton said, quote, "In my opinion, it's the best block of all time," giving it the edge over LeBron's chase down of Andre Iguodala in Game 7 of the 2016 Finals. Are you with Pat Connaughton on this one, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
I think it's the greatest block I've ever seen. I think it is. Listen. LeBron's block had more impact because it directly led to the winning in that instance of a championship.
It was a tie game.
There's no argument there.
Yep.
But LeBron's block, from an artistic athletic standpoint, is nowhere close to Giannis blocking a 7-foot guy who can get his elbow on the rim. He blocked a guy from behind, from the blind side, who didn't see him. Great, 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 great all-time play. But Andre Iguodala is what, 6'5", 6'6"? I mean, this is not the same as blocking DeAndre, a young, spry, wilt-like DeAndre Ayton. This is from the Bill Russell archives.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Different context, but this is much greater.
I just think, though, the circumstances for LeBron's. Let's remember, this was the 73-win Golden State Warriors. At the time, it's tied. So that's a huge moment. The impact of LeBron's is greater because even if Ayton scores, it's a tie game. But there's very few players in the NBA that would have the ability to help out on the drive by Booker.
He's on Booker.
Then
he's
lobs the ball and to recover and then have the size, the length,
just
and the athleticism. And let's remember something else about it. The finals started with us not knowing if Giannis was going to play.
He thought he was going to be out a year.
To play the series, for crying out loud. That's
what's
amazing
about it. He thought
he was
going to be out a year. Yes, Frank. He just pivots, swivels his hips, and goes straight up without fouling and blocks him. Wow.
And Mike,
that's like Bam blocking. Was it Bam blocking Tatum last year?
At the rim. And Mike, that's the thing about Giannis. He doesn't have the – he didn't score 40 points, but he still made a huge impact. Not only the block, but how about late when he caught a rebound, and what did he do right away? I'm not afraid to go to the free throw line, but I know giving the ball to Chris Middleton is the smart play. So he made some huge
He made all the smart plays down the stretch. Yep. He did. Let's move from the court to the course. The opening round of the British Open is in the books, and while the leader is Louis Oosthuizen at -6, the bigger story might be Jordan Spieth, who's one shot back, shot 65. Frank, whose chances do you like most after the first round?
Well, my guy John Rahm didn't necessarily come through for me yet, so we'll see what happens tomorrow. But you're right about Spieth. Right now, he is the story. The last time he shot an opening round 65 at the Open, he won in 2017. At one point today, he had 4 straight birdies. And what I love about Jordan Spieth, he likes playing these courses because he talks about the wind because it reminds him of Texas. I think it's the only time I think of Texas and Great Britain in the same sentence is when Jordan Spieth is saying that the wind in both places. So give him a lot of credit with the opening round 65. Last time, like I mentioned, he did that. He won the Open in 2017.
I said yesterday I picked Tommy Fleetwood.
Good call.
Tommy Fleetwood is 3 under, birdied 18. I'm feeling good about Fleetwood's chances, even though he's, what, 3 strokes back, 2 behind Spieth. Look, Spieth has played really well. I mean, he has bounced back. I like Spieth more now than when he was a 21, 22-year-old, major winning champion. I like him now because he's had to battle. He's had to grind and try to get his way back in his, what, mid-late 20s now to a place where he already was as a kid. And that's got to be to some degree humbling, but he's okay with it. And you don't see him whining. You don't see him just continuing to, give you faces and give you, I'm so this, I'm so that. You don't see that from Spieth. He is out there trying to get back to this form, and he seems ever so close, Frank. But, look, this is still wide open.
Yep.
I mean, so many things, weather and weather time of day. I mean, people teeing off tomorrow morning at, you know, 2:35 a.m. Eastern time in the United States. Their weather conditions will be nothing like people teeing off at 2:30 in the afternoon. So we don't know what's going to happen. All kinds of folks are going to come into play. Poor Phil Mickelson, who shot 80 today. Look, man, it's just more unpredictable than anything we see here when you have Seaside Links Golf.
When you look at Louis Oosthuizen, what he did. All right, this is a guy that has the career runner-up Grand Slam. He's finished second in all the tournaments. He's coming this year second in the PGA, second at the U.S. Open. And when you talked about whining and complaining, how about DeChambeau complaining about his Cobra driver? He said it sucks. And then you had the rep from the company coming out.
Ripping
and
him.
Kind of reprimanding him.
Stupid comments.
He always stirs things up at these golf events. It's great.
Well, it's more than stirs things up. He always does the wrong thing.
Yep.
I'd fire him.
Really?
I'd fire him. Yes, the weekend's over. Think of the millions of dollars they're paying to represent them. And he has no more tact, no more professionalism. You can be a perfectionist. My God, we know that Jack must have been a perfectionist. We know Tiger was. So many other great golfers, great athletes, period. Tom Brady, Michael Jordan, come on. They're all perfectionists. You can't step out there and do that. I would fire him now.
Koepka agrees with you, I think. Fire him right now after complaining about his driver.
Let's take a break, but coming up, the men's and women's Olympic basketball teams, they both suffered losses last night. Whose was more meaningful?
And some people in Chicago, ridiculed the White Sox for hiring Tony La Russa.
I wasn't one of them.
But is he the favorite for American League Manager of the Year?
He's in the running. They got the best record. They got the best record by 3 percentage points in the AL.
And they're up 8 games. Running away with it.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to watch Frank tank and toss up. What's first?
Toss up. Which U.S. Olympic basketball team suffered the bigger setback last night, the men or the women?
Well, of course, Frank, I don't know if you watched the game. I couldn't watch because I was covering a game. But Team USA, the women lost to the All-Star team.
Yep.
But to me, that's not a big deal. What you think, there's not 25 great women playing basketball in the United States of America? Of course there are. These are two teams. I thought that team, featuring my friend Candace Parker, was going to beat Team USA anyway. They did. That's fine. No. I mean, if you look at what happened with Bradley Beal going into protocol, I mean, that's kind of difficult. Although Devin Booker and Middleton figure to come over after the finals. Andrew Holiday. I don't know how much energy those guys are going to have.
I know.
Frank, we talked about this yesterday. So maybe, actually, since you can sub those guys in for Bradley Beal, maybe actually it is Team USA on the women's side. Maybe that is the bigger deal.
Well, here's the thing with the women's side. You know, we talk about the women's soccer team. You talk about the men's basketball team, track and field, swimming. The most dominant team that we send over, is the women's basketball team.
Women's
They've won six straight gold medals. I think they have a 48-game winning streak at the Olympics. I'm not worried about them. Bradley Beal, he's not going to be at the Olympics. I spoke to him last week. He was so excited to be there.
I know.
He wanted to wear the USA across his chest. He's playing with Jason Tatum. They went to the same high school, not at the same time, but two St. Louis guys. He was excited about playing with Kevin Durant. This is big, especially for a team that's already lost two exhibition games. And you think about what's going on over there in Tokyo right now. They had a six-month, you know, the highest amount of cases in 6 months, and we're sending our entire team. Bradley Beal is out. A player that was going to be really big for us. So they're going to have to fill his shoes.
I feel for Bradley, who has missed out on things like first or second team all honors, has missed out on being deep into the playoffs. I just feel bad for Bradley.
Call
I
up think Steph Curry. That's who they need.
Are going to survive it. Oh, there you go. Stirring it up again. What's next?
Toss up. It's a three-way. More likely to win American League Manager of the Year, Alex Cora, Dusty Baker, or Tony La Russa?
Well, I'm sure the people who vote anything to do with baseball simply apply numbers and come out with a formula and then announce a winner.
There we go.
So I don't really give a damn what the vote is. It's Dusty Baker. Because, look, the other two have done impressive jobs, but Baker has got to deal with this whole anti-Astros situation. Yeah. He was brought in to face it down. He did. All right, but it's not gone away yet because of missing, you know, more than a half a season because of the pandemic last year. It's Dusty Baker. I know Tony La Russa's team is ate up on Cleveland, and he's done a great job, even though people say, oh, I don't know about Dusty, I mean, about La Russa's too old, blah, 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 blah. It's, and Cora, of course, you know, coming back into his situation in Boston. It's Dusty Baker, Frank.
I love when Tony La Russa got there. He's going to take the fun away from everything. Are you having fun when you're in first place? Winning is fun. And La Russa has won it before. He's won, I think, four times. Dusty's won it as well. Here would be my thing about Alex Cora. I think he is the manager of the year, considering where the Red Sox were last season. But remember, Mike, he did serve a suspension for the cheating scandal, the sign stealing.
Yes.
The media votes for it. We know the way the media looks at cheaters when it comes to the Hall of Fame. Will they vote for Alex Cora when it comes to Manager of the Year? Because I think it is him with the way that the Red Sox have played. He doesn't have Mookie Betts on the team.
Yeah, but with all the Dusty Baker's had to deal with.
I agree. I think he's a worthy candidate.
I mean, that alone, you know, to me, puts it, if there's a tiebreaker, if we're considering these three to be fairly even, I'm going to take Dusty. That's it. We're taking one last break, but still to come, a big change as to how Olympic athletes will receive their medals.
And baseball was supposed to be back tonight. We'll tell you why it's not going to happen. Uh-oh, more problems.
What's the deal? Oh, and it was only one game. It was just Yanks and
standalone game.
Yeah.
Sox in the Bronx.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 31st birthday, Damian Lillard. The Trailblazers guard has been among the most prolific and charismatic players in the game the last 6 years. Even though he hasn't yet played in the finals, it's easy to make the case that Lillard belongs with Bill Walton and Clyde Drexler on the franchise's all-time team. Only Dame and Clyde have been six-time NBA All-Stars in Portland, so it's unthinkable to many that Lillard, who has averaged between 25 and 30 per game the last 6 seasons, could be traded as soon as these next few weeks as the Trailblazers try to become a stronger contender in the loaded Western Conference. Frank, are you one of the people who thinks the Blazers can get back in the trade a player or players that would improve Portland?
Well, think about it, Mike. He's 31, so if you're going to trade him, now is the time to do it, to get something back for him. I'd like to see him retire as a member of the Portland Trailblazers.
Me too.
I think Chauncey Billups would as well. But you think about Philly, Golden State, the Lakers, the New York Knicks would love to get
Portland.
Involved.
Portland. A not-so-happy anniversary, Los Angeles Clippers. On this day 17 years ago, Kobe Bryant said no to joining the Clippers as a free agent and re-signed with the Lakers. It would have been a seismic move for the sports scene in Southern California, Kobe going from the blue blood Lakers to the ragtag Clippers. It would have given LA's second basketball team a status and stature it still has not enjoyed. Who would Kobe have been playing with had he switched teams? Well, no stars. Kenny Anderson, Elton Brand, Kerry Kittles, Sean Livingston, Corey Maggette, Chris Kaman, our buddy Rick Brunson, Frank.
Yeah.
The Clippers thought they would be able to take advantage of the Shaq-Kobe public discord at the time. The Clippers thought they were certain to sign Kobe and were even preparing a welcome ceremony at Staples. Kobe even said, Frank, quote, "I could see myself playing for the Clippers," close quote. Bryant later said Lakers owner Jerry Buss trumped it all, and the Lakers traded Shaq to Miami a few days later. Kobe signed a 7-year deal to return to the Lakers, and it turned out just fine for him and the Lakers, who won 2 more championships.
I never thought for a minute it was going to happen. They picked Kobe over Shaq. Kobe ended up winning 2 more. Shaq won 1 more. The Lakers made the right call, as did Kobe Bryant.
They did. They made the right call. They did. Happy trails to Olympians receiving medals around their necks. It's been an iconic tradition at the medal stand, but there'll be a new protocol in this year's Tokyo Games. Organizers will wear disinfected gloves to place the medals on trays. Then they will present the trays to the athletes, who will take the medals and place them around their own necks to protect themselves against the spread of coronavirus. Cases in Tokyo reached a 6-month high yesterday, with the whole city under a state of emergency. The latest data indicates that slightly fewer than 20% of the Japanese population has been fully vaccinated. Just last week, Frank, organizers banned fans from most events. The games are scheduled to begin in 8 days.
Something tells me that Bradley Beal is not going to be the only athlete that's unable to participate. You know, when you don't have the fans there, Mike, you and I have been to the Olympics. You know, when I was in London and you're there for the 100-meter final and it's Usain Bolt and they're walking into the corner of that stadium and you hear the crowd and just that emotion, and when, you know, the gun goes off and they're running.
It's electrifying.
To not have the crowd there really, really takes away a lot.
It really does. It reduces it so much, Frank. Yep. One omission. Ian Rappaport says Tom Brady's knee injury was actually a fully torn MCL. Wow. All right, we're running out of show. Let's get to the big finish. Baseball has extended Trevor Bauer's leave another 2 weeks, now it's a month, while it and the Pasadena police investigate an allegation that he committed sexual assault. Your thoughts, Frank?
I think they were smart to do that because he has his hearing July 23rd, 4 days before that, in L.A. Superior County Court. So that was a smart move by them. The Athletic reports that Wes Unseld Jr. is the favorite for the Wizards head coaching job. Good name, good fit. What do you think?
Oh, he's been a longtime successful assistant coach, Nuggets associate head coach. And if you are of and had any time in the greater DMV, Washington, D.C., Wes Unseld is the most famous name and person by a million miles associated with that franchise. Retired North Carolina coach Roy Williams has grown a beard. Do you like this, Frank?
Look at him. He looks like $1 million. He's playing golf. He's happy. Looks really good with that beard. Fury Wilder 3 has been rebooked for October 9th in Las Vegas. Is that one okay by you?
I would rather have seen it in 10 days, but hey, you know, Fury's got COVID. They got to postpone it. Speaking of postponements, because of COVID, last one. Red Sox and Yankees postponed tonight, the only game on the schedule due to a COVID outbreak within the Yankees. Your thoughts?
I thought we were through this already. What an absolute mess. It was supposed to play tonight. By the way, Red Sox had beaten the Yankees all 6 times this year. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow on Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. You can.